How many are doing good tonight? Anybody here glad to be in Christ tonight? You know, because if you're in Christ, everything's all right. God is a good God. Amen. If you will turn to Psalm 27, tonight we're going to be reading all of our scriptures will come from the New American Standard Version of the scriptures. And we'll begin right here in Psalm 27, if you don't mind. And having said that, I want to set up a video I want to show you tonight to introduce this message to you. We feel the Lord laid on our heart. This video, it's really, it's only 3 minutes and 40 seconds. It's about the life of Corrie Ten Boom. Anybody know who Corrie Ten Boom was? Yeah. She and her family, very famous, they lived in the Netherlands. Her dad was a watchmaker there in the Netherlands during the Second World War. And, of course, the Netherlands bordering Germany and Belgium when the Nazis invaded. They were, at that time, trying to annihilate all of the Jews, genocide going on, and they were killing Jews. They wiped out a full third of the Jewish population, sadly. And but Corrie Ten Boom, her mom had died at a much earlier age from a stroke, and so her dad lived with his two adult daughters, her sister Betsy and Corrie, and her dad was a watchmaker, and they all worked in that business. And there in the Netherlands, their watchmaking shop was on the first floor, and then they lived on the next two levels. And as the Nazis came to arrest Jews and they were sending them to the concentration camps, then Corrie Ten Boom's, her dad, and she and her sister got heavily involved in shielding the Jews. And so they had a place in their residence above the watchmaking shop where they hid Jews. And they had 70 seconds. When the Nazis or the Gestapo would knock on the door looking for Jews, the Jewish people they were hiding had 70 seconds to get to the hiding place. In 1971, Corrie Ten Boom, she's the only member of the family that survived the concentration camps. 1971, she wrote a book called The Hiding Place. Maybe you've no doubt heard of that book. And but this short 3 minute, 40 second video will give us some insight into the hiding place. Take a look.
I'm here at the house of Corrie Ten Boom in Harlem, and I want to tell you a story of how Christians saved Jews during World War II, during the Holocaust. Right in Harlem, the Ten Boom family's watch shop was more than a business. It was a front for a fierce resistance against the Nazi tyranny. Corrie Ten Boom, a force of nature, turned her family home into a sanctuary for those hunted by the Gestapo, which was 100 meters from their house. Picture this, a room so tiny that could almost make you feel claustrophobic, but it was a room that determined the fate of hundreds. I want to show you this room. You can see the hiding place. This was the space that determined fate of Jewish people during the Holocaust, during World War II. It was the wall behind Corrie Ten Boom's bedroom. And the crazy part is that when the Gestapo knocked at the door to search, or if they wanted to find out if there are Jews here, so they would ring the bell, the people here, they had 70 seconds to run from the house and go and hide inside this space. Let me show you how you actually get in there. For people who are more older than me, even for me it was a little bit challenging, but just imagine that you're having 70 seconds to run and save your life by helping the Jews. The Ten Booms, of course, risked their lives. The fate of helping a Jew that time was death. You help a Jew, you die as a Jew. But not all heroes wear capes, and not all stories have the best perfect ending. And unfortunately, in 1944, the Nazis found out about this whole operation, the hiding place. A Dutch person tipped off the Nazis and they came and they made arrests. Corey's father, brother, sister and nephew all paid the ultimate price for saving Jews. Corey and her sister Betsy ended up in the Ravensbrück camp, yet even surrounded by death, they didn't let the light of hope flicker out. They held secret Bible sessions, whispering verses of faith over the cries of despair. Betsy, even as her body failed her in that horrific nightmare, she never let go of her hope and a dream for a post-war home for healing and renewal. Her last words to Corey were a lifeline. She said, "There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still." Corey traveled the globe not just to tell her story, which is remarkable as you can see, but she traveled to preach about forgiveness. Shockingly, even extending a hand of forgiveness to the very guards who tormented them in that Nazi camp. He brings his love and it's bigger than all the hate, Corey declared, proving that real power lies in forgiveness, not vengeance. Corrie Ten Boom is a hero not just of her time, but of all time, because she preaches a story of forgiving the unforgivable. And this is a story of Christians that helped save Jews during the Holocaust. Thank you for watching. Share this video.
Praise God. I know you enjoyed that. It's a touching video of lives that were used in service and dedication to the Lord and to rescue his people. It is estimated that Corey and her father and sister saved some 800 lives in that wall. You know, they had it carved out where you could see the wall, but, you know, obviously in 1942, it was all plastered up, and the Nazis didn't know it was there until someone tipped them off in 1944. But between 1942 and 1944, that family saved 800 lives that were trying to escape, you know, those horrific horrific genocide. And so there in the Ravensbrück concentration camp where they, you know, her dad, they arrested him. And all of this happened on the 28th day of February in 1944. Someone tipped off the Nazis that the Ten Boons were hiding Jews. And the Ten Boons would put a triangular sign in the window of their watch shop, and that was an indication to people who were hiding from the Nazis that it was safe, that everything was okay, the danger had passed. And when the Nazis found out, then they took that sign and they put it in the window, and they were capturing Jews who were coming for freedom after that. It was so sad. But they saved some 800 lives doing that. Her dad was arrested. He died just months later. They were arrested, as I say, the 28th of February, 1944. He died in March, March the 9th of 44. And then her sister Betsy passed away as well. But her brother and his son, they happened to be visiting on the day that the Ten Boons were arrested. Her brother and his family lived in another town. They had come back to visit the family, and so her brother got arrested, her nephew, and her dad and her sister, and she was the only one that survived. And the name of that book is The Hiding Place that she wrote, and the name of this sermon tonight is The Hiding Place. The Hiding Place. In Psalm 27 and verse 5, the scripture says this: "For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me." I came to tell you tonight that there is a hiding place in God's presence. That there is a place, Now there, what the Ten Booms did is they created a hiding place in the wall. And when the Nazis would bang on the door, then the Jewish people there had 70 seconds to get to the hiding place. And they had to get down low. He demonstrated how you got in there. You had to go down under that little bookshelf area and crawl through the wall and back into that little tight space. And that they did that for 2 years, 70 seconds to get to the hiding place. But God has a place where there is freedom from worry. Glory to God. There is a place in God where there is freedom from fear. There is a place in God's presence where He will hide you from loneliness. There's a place in the Lord where He will hide you from misery, from trouble. God has issued an invitation to all of His children, and sadly, so few of us accept that invitation to come to His hiding place. The hiding place, it's a place of rest and tranquility. God's hiding place. It's a place of peace and comfort. It's a place of stability. The hiding place. The hiding place. That scripture we just read, Psalm 27:5, for in the day of trouble, He will conceal me in His tabernacle, in the secret place, it says, of His tent. In the secret place, He will hide me. Go with me to Psalm 31 and verse 20. Flip over to Psalm 31, verse 20. We're talking about the hiding place tonight. There's a place in God that He has invited you and I. And if you're frustrated or hurting or lonely or fearful, if you're worried, if you're troubled, God's inviting you to a secret place, to a hiding place. It's a place in His shadow. It's a place under His wing. It's a place near His heart. And here in Psalm 31, verse 20, the scripture says, you hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of men. I like that. You hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of men. Over and over again, the scriptures remind us. Look at Psalm 32, verse 7. Psalm 32, verse 7. The scriptures remind us over and over again that God has issued an invitation to you and I to enter into His hiding place. His hiding place. It's a place of rest. It's a place of just peace. It's a place of tranquility. It's a place of comfort and calm. Worry and fear are inaccessible to you in God's hiding place. Psalm 32, verse 7, the psalmist said, you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. What are you doing now, preacher? I'm just showing you a few scriptures where the scriptures declare that God is our hiding place. Go to Psalm 119, if you will. Psalm 119, verse 114. Psalm 119 and verse 114. The Lord has invited you and I tonight to a hiding place. So few Christians take advantage of the invitation of the Lord to enter a place of just peace, comfort. Worry and fear can't get to that place. Oh, man. Praise God. Psalm 119 and verse 114. Is that what it said? Psalm 119 and verse 114. The psalmist said this, but you are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. Over and over again, God's promise that He is a hiding place for you and I. Turn backwards for a moment. Go to 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. I'll tell you what, before you go there, hold that scripture. Before you go there, I'll take you there at the end. Go to Psalm 91. Go to Psalm 91. We'll go to 2 Chronicles later. Go to Psalm 91. I'm sorry. Psalm 91. Over and over again, the scripture references God's hiding place. He's got a hiding place for you and I. Psalm 91. Look at verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. So we can see there that God has a hiding place for you and I. He's got an awesome hiding place for you and I. He invites us into His presence. He invites us. You know, the day will come when we will be in heaven after the rapture of the church. Anybody looking forward to that day? Praise God. Hallelujah. When the Lord raptures us out of here. Glory to God. And we'll be in a place where there's complete perfection. And the scripture says there'll be no more sadness, no more sorrow. And in his presence, there will be total peace, just total joy, total comfort. But until we get there in that place, God has provided the hiding place of his presence to keep you and I and to protect us. Glory to God. Someone says, okay, I can see all these scriptures about the hiding place. There's a hiding place. God has a hiding place. He has a shelter, a hiding place in his presence. How do we get there? Go with me to Luke chapter 10. How do we get there? Luke chapter 10. Praise God. How do we get there? This story, no doubt, you've read many times. One of my favorite stories. I love this story. Luke 10, 38. Down through 42. I'll just read it. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted, everybody say distracted, with all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." 41, but the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen," some versions say discovered, "the good part, which shall not be taken from her." Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken from her. You know, I believe that Mary found out there sitting at the feet of Jesus that there's a hiding place right there in his presence. How do you get into that hiding place? Well, we can take some clues just from what Mary did here. First, the scripture says she sat at his feet. She sat at his feet while her sister was worried and frustrated and distracted. Mary was seated at the Lord's feet. So what's your first point about how do you get to that hiding place? You have to sit at his feet. And that means change your position. That means get alone with him. That means get away from your schedule, get away from whatever other things you have to do, and make some specific time to spend with the Lord. Mary, in spite of all the things going on around her, she chose that day to just sit at his feet. It was something she did on purpose. It was a position of her body to be seated there with the Lord on purpose in his presence. She had discovered something. She had discovered what David had discovered, that there was a hiding place. All over the scripture, you see amazing men and women who have discovered that there is a hiding place in God. You can see it in Acts chapter 6, verse 15, we see that Stephen discovered there's a hiding place in God's presence. In Acts 6, 15, witnesses had been paid to lie against him, and they had him in court, and they had three people that they had paid to tell lies on Stephen, and it was a kangaroo court. They had already determined they were going to kill the man. They had already decided they were going to kill him. And so as they're telling lies about Stephen, one of the believers in the early church, they're telling lies that are going to result in his death, and he knows that the sentence is going to be death. He knows he's going to be stoned in just a little bit. When they go through the formalities of the kangaroo court, he'll be found guilty under false pretenses and then be stoned to death. And with that realization, in Acts 6:15, it says they looked over at him. Everybody there looked over at Stephen. Acts 6:15, when they looked at him, they looked at his face. And you know what they saw? Something that looked like the face of an angel. His face was reflective of the presence of God. They were accusing him falsely, but they couldn't get to him. You know why? He was in a secret place. They couldn't get to him. They were lying on him, but he wasn't retaliating and fighting back. They couldn't get to him because he had arrived at a place in God where strife of men and lies of men could not get to him. He had entered into God's secret place. And he was safe and secure. And as they looked at his face, knowing they were telling bald-faced lies against that man, they saw he had the face of an angel. He had entered the secret place. You can see Peter found that place. Acts chapter 12, verse 1, and then verses 4 through 7. Verse 1 talks about how Herod arrested, well, he arrested Peter and James, and after killing James, he's going to kill Peter. He's just waiting on the right day. He's going to kill Peter, and he has assigned. Herod doesn't want Peter to get away. And Acts chapter 12, verses 4 through 7, says that Herod assigned 16 soldiers, four squads of soldiers. That's six, that a squad is four soldiers. He assigned 16 soldiers to guard Peter. And it's the night before he's going to die. And Herod had already cut James's head off. And the church was praying fervently for Peter. Verse 5. And Peter was also chained between two soldiers. And there's other soldiers outside. So he's chained between two soldiers. And there's 14 more guarding him. There's no way from a natural perspective that he's going to get out of that. But Peter had found a hiding place. He had already entered into the hiding place. And when the scripture allows us to peer in on Peter in Acts chapter 12, he's sleeping soundly, chained between two soldiers. And I tell you, when you get to that hiding place, you can have trouble brewing all around you. But when you get into the hiding place of God's presence, he will just rock you on to sleep. Oh, in his hiding place, in his presence. Psalm 4 verse 8 said, I will both lay me down and sleep in peace because you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. I said, there's a hiding place in God that will enable you to sleep at night. There's a hiding place in God that will keep worry away from you, keep fear off of you, keep strife off of you. There's a hiding place in the presence of the Lord where nobody can get to you. And when the angel showed up in that prison cell, the cell having been locked securely, 16 soldiers guarding him, Peter sleeping chained between two soldiers, he was sound asleep, sleeping so hard, the angel had to smote him in the side, the scripture says, to get him to wake up. The angel had to strike him hard in the side to wake him up. He was sleeping so sound. He had found that in Christ, there is a resting place. He had found that in Christ, there is a comfort place. He had found that in Christ, there is a place of tranquility. When people around you are full of worry and fear and strife and terrible predictions, there is a place in Christ that you and I can go. That the conspiracies of man and the trouble of mankind and the troubles of this world cannot get to. And so Mary had found that same place here in Luke chapter 10 at the feet of Jesus. And the first thing she did to get there was to sit at his feet, to sit at his feet. And you know, sometimes we have to get ourselves into an environment where we can get our mind quiet, get our body quiet, and then we can hear what God is saying to us down in our spirit. I wish I had an amen here. Amen. Psalm 46 verse 10 said, be still and know that I am God. There is a time, Psalm 46, 10, there is a time to just be still and know. I said, I wish I had an amen. I said, there's a time to just be still in the presence of God, just to be still and know. To be still, remind yourself of who you are in Christ. Remind yourself of that you are God's child. Remind yourself of your redemptive realities. Remind yourself of all that God's done for you. There's a time to just be still and know. She sat at his feet. She decided, I'm going to be still. Martha was running all around. Oh, Lord. Wait a minute. I forgot the rice. Oh, wait a minute. The chicken's going to burn. Oh, wait a minute. Let me get back over here. Martha was just running around like a crazy woman. But Mary decided to be still and know. And there's a time, and I don't know, it may have to come after you put the little chillins to bed. You may have to wait till you get the chillins in bed before you can get there. You may have to do it early in the morning. You may have to go there during your lunch break. You may have to get there in your car. But there is a time to sit still at his feet, to be still and to know that he is God, to know that he is your God, to know that he is your Father. She sat at his feet in the midst of the hustle and the bustle all around her. She took time to push back from that and to just sit at his feet, to be still and know. Oh, if you want to find the secret place tonight, sit at his feet like Mary. Be still and know. The next thing that Mary did, not only did she sit at his feet, she listened to his word. And if you're going to find that hiding place, you're going to have to listen to the word. You're going to have to be cognizant of what the word says about you. You're going to have to be more mindful of what God says in his word about you than what your circumstances say. God told Joshua, meditate in the word. Psalm 1, verse 2, meditate in the word. Philippians 4, verse 8, meditate in the word. And really, to get to that secret place, you have to sit at his feet. To get to that secret place, you have to listen to his word. You have to take the time to listen to his word. Look again, that Psalm 119. Remember that we read that Psalm 119, verse 114. Go, just look at that real quick with me again. Psalm 119, verse 114. We're going to have to sit at his feet, and we're going to have to listen to his word. Psalm 119, verse 114. You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your what? I wait for your word. The psalmist said, you're my hiding place. You're my shield. I wait for your word. To get to that hiding place, you have to change your position. You have to get away from the hustle and bustle of your schedule. You have to sit at his feet, number one. Number two, you've got to listen. You've got to take some time and listen to his word. Listen to his word. And then finally, you've got to focus on his face. That's my third point. What was your first point? Sit at his feet. What was your second point? Listen to his word. What's your third point again? Listen, focus on his face. What do you mean by that? Said focus on his face. Go back with me. Psalm 24, if you'd be so kind. Psalm 24, focus on his face. Psalm 24. Focus on his face. Psalm 24, verse 6, it says this: this is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, even Jacob, Selah. Look at Psalm 27 and verse 8. Psalm 27, verse 8. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle, in the secret place of his tent. I'm sorry, I read 5. We read that earlier, but 8, Psalm 27, 8. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I shall seek. Your face I shall seek. Look at Psalm 105, verse 4. Psalm 105 and verse 4. Psalm 105 and verse 4. What's your third point? Focus on his face. Psalm 105, verse 4. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Seek his face continually. And I told you we'd go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. Let's look at that. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And then we'll wind down. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Praise God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We're talking about now. What's your point? Seek his face. Sit at his feet. Listen to his word. And focus on his face is the point. Focus on his face. The scripture is saying, seek my face. That's God's instruction to us. But my point is, focus on his face. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, it says, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, and then what? Seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin. Man, God's directed you and I to seek his face. You know, when we seek his face, there's a difference between what's called seeking his face and seeking his hand. When we seek his hand, we want to go into God's presence because we're there only because of what he can do for us. We're there just for, and sometimes, you know, and that there's nothing wrong with that in one sense. God wants us to come to him. But when you seek his face, you just seek him for who he is. When you seek his face, you desire to just be in his presence because he's your father and you're his child. When you seek his face, you're not worried about what he has done or what he can do. You're thankful for that, but you're more concerned with who he is. When you seek his face, it's when you enter that realm to worship him and his attributes. He is holy. He is faithful. He is just. He's loving. He's kind. You worship him for all of his attributes when you seek his face. And so my point, focus on his face and you'll always find that secret place in him. That secret place. As I started this message, I showed you that 3-minute and 40-second video clip, Corrie Ten Boom. Toward the end, the person narrating referenced something that Corrie's sister Betsy said to her at that Ravensbrück concentration camp. It was the last time she saw Betsy. And Betsy said to Corrie, "There is no pit so deep that God's love is not still deeper." And that transformed Corrie to be able to forgive people who had harmed her. The pit of life that she had been thrown in. And so many people today feel like they're in a pit. They're in a pit of loneliness. They're in a pit of despair. They're in a pit of worry or trouble. There's no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. And Corrie found out that to get to the real hiding place, she had learned to forgive those who had hurt her. And that same process is true for you and I. We have to learn how to forgive even those who've thrown us into a pit. And whatever you're going through tonight, I want to remind you that God's with you, that God has a secret place for you. With every head bowed now, Father, thank you so much for your love, your encouragement, for your word. Thank you for the secret place of your presence. And as we come tonight, we thank you for your invitation that we don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. We don't have to tremble. We don't have to be in chaos. We can go into that secret place of your presence. So thank you for taking us there. I invite you, as your heads are bowed, find some time tonight, tomorrow, this week. Get to that secret place. The Jews only had 70 seconds to get to that secret place. But in the realm of the Spirit, you can get there faster than 70 seconds. And you can rest and be at peace. Father, thank you for your goodness, for all that you've done for us in Jesus' name. Tonight, if you need anything from the Lord, you want to be saved, you want to be filled with the Spirit, you want to be somebody to pray with you about healing, we invite you to come forward. All of our prayer room workers are coming forward now, the men and the women. We invite you, don't leave. You need prayer, come on forward. Guys, come to the guys. Ladies, come to the ladies. They will pray with you. That's right, you can come right on down. They will pray with you, agree with you. They're prayer warriors, and you won't leave here like you came. Get to the hiding place. God's waiting on you. All right, God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. Hour of Power. God bless you.